Hello, my soul-seeking friends. It's Shanna. Thank you so much for listening to Sense of Soul podcast, enlightening conversations with like-minded souls from around the world, sharing their journey of finding their light within, turning pain into purpose, and awakening to their true sense of soul. If you like what you hear, show me some love and rate, like, and subscribe. And consider becoming a Sense of Soul Patreon member, where you will get ad-free episodes, monthly circles, and much more. Now go grab your coffee, open your mind, heart, and soul. It's time to awaken. Today on Sense of Soul, I have Maria Pavlova, and some know her as Masha. She is a thought leader and innovator, a speaker and coach, and she's also a multiple-time number one international best-selling author. Masha is on a huge mission. Not only is she helping people break through the glass ceiling, her purpose has also turned global, putting together a 24-hour pause for peace worldwide in hopes that this is the first step to not only just have world peace for 24 hours, but to make that a reality every day. And this beautiful soul is with me today, and I can't wait to share her with you. So please welcome Masha.
Shanna, hello, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Busy, the good kind of busy. I feel like there needs to be a different word for that.
I so understand what you're saying. Okay, we need to come up with a new name because I feel that way too. People are always like, how are you? And I hate to say just busy because I'm like busy in a good way.
Yeah, there's got to be a different term. Like, and productive doesn't feel flowy enough. Like, it feels like it needs that completion element and that progression element, but also needs to be like with peace and self-care.
Yeah. Well, if you think of a name, will you please let me know? Because busy just sounds chaotic.
Yeah.
And there are times that I do spread myself too thin.
It's what landed me in the hospital. It's what broke my body such a long time ago. And I would like to find a different word other than what I was using in a very unhealthy space.
It's triggering.
Yeah.
To a person who has moved through that and came to a place where they have a conscious life, being busy does not sound conscious.
No, I like that. Like, so it needs to have that conscious element. Yeah, this is gonna be marinating.
Tell me a little bit about you. Tell me your story. How did you come to where you are today?
So I feel like everything that I have in my life has been just placed in front of me at the right time. And I feel like I've been taken out all of the situations, going all of the wrong paths. It's like, nope. Course correct. Here we go. I was born in Soviet Russia. So Soviet Union, technically. So during the Soviet Union, I just passed my anniversary of coming here 24 years ago. Just found my home here continuously over and over again. And interestingly enough, and I have, you know, the immigrant story, all of these things, and life has been bringing that back up. However, my life has really been looking at the pinnacles of me, who I am, what has really been in my awareness from a very early age is what I now will define as neurology, psychology, physiology, how people work. How do we problem solve? How do we risk minimize? How do we take somebody who is, for example, putting complaining in their life on a regular basis and saying, well, you have a choice. You can either choose to accept what is, in that case, that will look like not complaining, like you can make a conscious choice to stay where you are, or you can make a conscious choice to change. And people say, well, that's risky. And then the next question is, if that's the route that you want to go, then how do we minimize that risk? How do you actually create what you want? And so, and I remember doing this as a kid, and I would piss my friends off, my family members. They're like, okay, just stop. Like, you weren't, nobody asked you, like, seriously. And I was told I wasn't smart enough. I was told, you know, this isn't something for me to follow. I was starting too late, and, you know, all of the things. And so I believed them at the time, went down the creative path, became a photographer, was told that's not a career. So I needed to be more serious, but not as serious as that over there. So I went into graphic design. And funny enough, that was the first pivot point where life was like, nope, and took me out and put me back in photography. Wow. While I was still in school, I started getting photography jobs. I started my own business, had the opportunity to grow that very fast. And interestingly enough, photography was my cover. What I was doing behind the scenes is really recognizing challenges that in that case women were having that were coming to me for having their kids photographed, but then wouldn't get in the photos because of the things that were coming up for them. Mm-hmm. And so I learned to solve for that piece, build an entire business from it, and was really having this transformative experience where the woman would come in, we would create this elaborate process, which again, I learned later that is NLP, used all of the senses essentially, where we were anchoring the person who she wanted to be in all of her facets into this process. And then the photograph would really capture that. So she would have something that would trigger those new patterns and help alleviate the old ones, help step away from the old ones. Loved what I was doing. And then at the same time, there was always this little voice that was nagging at me from the back of my head about doing something more, doing something bigger, changing the world. And it would scare loving daylight out of me. So I'm like, nope, it's not even gonna look there. We're just gonna stay with the busyness because that's what success is. And it got to the point where I was, by that definition, successful. So I was booking 3 months out, I was consistent, I was charging premium. It was amazing. I was having the time of my life, and yet it was at the expense of not paying attention to my body, not paying attention to this bigger purpose, not paying attention to my everyday life, because it looked like, oh, I don't need another weekend. I can work through this space. I can, I can go to sleep at 3 in the morning. I can wake up at 7. That's fine.
Oh, that busyness again.
That's
Which,
right.
isn't that funny? The
Yeah.
word business is busyness.
Gosh, we need a whole new vocabulary. That's the goal. The whole new vocabulary to and the way to think about it, right?
Yes, more
So,
importantly.
oh gosh, I'm like, if everybody in the world can hear this, because this relates to business owners, this relates to individuals. Like, I don't, it doesn't matter where you are in life and what you're doing, you need to hear this because there's a voice that calls for us always. It's always there, regardless of how much we mask it up, right? And I was, I would say, unfortunately, fortunate enough that it got to the point where life was like, okay, enough of that. And so, end of 2019, I end up having an emergency surgery. It's so funny to me that there's an ambulance as I'm talking about this. I ended up in the emergency room.
That was a great sound effect.
Yeah, it was out of nowhere, and because I had a sudden pain, and they said at the time, actually, it was your appendix, right? You needed an appendectomy. And interestingly enough, I woke up in the hospital and the pain was still there. And they're like, oh, well, that's normal. And then I started developing more symptoms and like, oh, well, that's just the anesthesia wearing off. And things kept getting worse and symptoms kept developing where all of a sudden my hand stopped working, where all of a sudden I couldn't hold a cup of tea or my phone in my hand. And then I went to get up one day, my legs stopped working. So I just fell over. And my body slowly shut down over the course of a couple of weeks, a couple of months, just symptoms kept developing. Where all of a sudden, the life that I knew how to do, I couldn't physically or mentally or emotionally do anymore. It felt like everything was just gone. And it was that point where everything is gone. And at first, it seems like all you have left is the feeling sorry for yourself and the sadness and the grief and everything that comes with that, the reasoning, the trying to understand, the anger, frustration, all of that. At least for me, it was. Every single morning, it's like, this is all I have. This is all I have. And every single day, it's like, it's getting kind of old. I'm getting tired of always feeling like this. And I'm starting to wonder at that point, is there something different I can choose? I can't use my body. I can't do my business. I can't. Okay, so what can I do? What is actually here? And for me, it was like, oh, wait, I have this big vision. Okay, well, I don't really have much else to do. I don't really have much to lose. So let's go, let's try this. And at the time, it looked like the application of this vision was towards businesses. It was towards solving this thing that happened to me to make sure that doesn't happen to anybody else. So creating business solutions. Because something that people don't talk about in the business world is we talk about the numbers of businesses failing, right? What we don't talk about is the fact that those numbers haven't changed in over 30 years with the evolution of internet, with the amount of coaches, with the amount of access to resources. The numbers of business failures haven't changed. So every fiber of my being said, this is the starting point. This is the testing ground. This is where you get to start putting yourself out there and putting these concepts out there. So I gathered an incredible team. We started going at this, created an entire program, created an amazing, amazing business structure, business solution. And the voice in the back of my mind is going, you're getting stuck in the weeds again. You're getting stuck in the busyness again. And I realized like I don't do well at managing. I don't like managing people. That's not my superpower. My superpower is getting these ideas out there because so much needs to change in this world. And it kind of took me out of that space to some level, and it dropped me in a space where, actually, funny enough, this time last year I was in India, and I got a chance to sit with His Holiness the Dalai Lama. I get a chance to meet with the royal family. I got to hear stories of people who are doing things that my heart and my soul knew were possible. My brain didn't believe it. And here these people are in front of me doing these things. And so, again, it felt like I was standing at this road. I could either keep going this way, keep feeling sorry for myself, keep doing this thing, keep playing small, or here's this opportunity to actually make a difference, to continue expanding and changing the world, stepping towards a change in the world. And so, as soon as I did, it's like everything became easy. So, today, interestingly enough, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around it because I feel like I'm just an everyday person. I am no different from everybody. And I heard people say that before and I didn't really believe it. It didn't really resonate because I'm like, oh, yeah, right. You know, you sure. Yeah, you were just like me, sure. And now it's like, I'm like, I am. I'm like, this was me. This is me now. And right now, the project that I'm working on, for example, we're working on 24 hours of peace. We're going to have an event for 24 hours where we're going across the world, all 24 time zones. We're getting nations to participate. And the idea is to call the world out. The amount of conflict we are having in this world right now is absurd. The amount of deaths from that conflict are absurd. The amount of grieving that our country right now, the people here, the people across the world are in, my country at home, is absurd. Again, we have a choice here. Every single day, we have a choice to do something about it. And it got to the point, I haven't been able to admit this. This is actually, I feel like I'm drowning in the grief, and I'm trying to do something about it outside while ignoring it. And it's like, why don't we stop ignoring and do something? What can that be replaced with? What can 24 hours give us? What can that recognition give us? What can we replace it with? What kind of cultural awareness for that particular event? We're going to do music. We're going to put the youth leaders and youth music out there, right? And the goal is to have 24 hours where countries sign off for peace. And you might sit there and think, oh my gosh, like that seems so big, that seems so absurd. And yet, as soon as I made that decision, the next person I spoke with, she goes, oh, I did that in 2020.
So, you know what's interesting too is I keep hearing you keep mentioning choice. You know, we have all these choices, yet we're not choosing to do anything. And what we do choose to do a lot of times is somebody else's dreams. So, you know, just wondering, why are businesses continuing to fail, or why is there so much hate in the world? What is making them choose, you know, to go that route? If they were conscious, you know they wouldn't be making those choices. However, the word choice is heresy. It means heresy in Greek. That was the root of the word. And so we are only moving into a space where choice is an option, and we're still battling with those other voices that are telling us we're not good enough, we're too small to do this, because that's what we've been doing for generations.
Like we have a project, you and I feel like we need to redefine words, and we need to find different words to use, because ego, for example, right? Ego is something that I feel like has such a bad rep, and I've experienced that side of the ego going like, oh, that feels icky. I'm watching this person doing this technically good thing, but then you're seeing other parts of it and you're like, oh, well, that doesn't look right. And I think that we have enmeshed, we have so much, both in our vocabulary as well as in our interpretation for ourselves, we have these concepts that we've enmeshed and made law. It's like we've built this thing out of Legos and we said, this is how it is, regardless of the individual Lego pieces. So, for example, if we think about choice, we can take apart so many words like this that are currently being used. The woman actually I just mentioned, Rebecca, she's incredible. She's a Nobel Peace Prize winner. Absolutely amazing woman. She's our age. Like she's absolutely amazing. And she brought up this point based on the work that she's currently doing. She said, we stopped using the word empowerment. We started using the word agency, because in empowerment, I'm still giving something to you, versus agency is something you internally have. So I feel like what we're being called to right now, I think this is how we can all participate. And again, regardless of where you're on your journey, is start thinking about a concept. Let's say you are, let's say you're a business owner. Let's say you still have a job that you're in full-time or part-time as you're trying to transition. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard this story recently where you go, I'm about to step over this line, and this is what this means. I'm going to, one of the stories I just heard of these incredible mom and daughter team, and I mean, their whole conversations about mental health, so important, so relevant, personal to me. I'm like, I want to see you out there. I want to hear you out there. This is such an incredible message that you have, and especially how you approach it. And I was talking to the mom, and she goes, I know what we're about to step into. I see a lot of the possibilities, and that means that our mental health is going to get challenged. We're not going to have any time for ourselves or each other. We're not going to have this. And it's like, wait a second, who made these rules? Why is that law? Why is that what this has to mean? And so, what are the thing? What are the term? What are the rules that you're setting up for yourself? Because again, for me, it was like, well, this thing seems really big. It's too big for me. I'm out, right? It's too hard, or it's going to take too much time. Or okay, yes, I'm in, and oh my gosh, this is going to be challenging. Oh my gosh, today is going to be challenging. Oh my gosh, I'm so tired. It's like, well, wait a second. Are you really though? Like, isn't this the same thing that you say every day? Why are you making this a rule? How can you separate those things out? We associate ourselves with that part, with that internal part that tells us those things because it's in our minds, right? I'm not good enough. I'm too this. I'm not enough of that. I'm not worthy. I'm who am I to? And it feels internal, but is that really you? It's not. It's a mechanism. And it's not bad. It's there to protect us. And yet, again, every single day you wake up, you have a choice. Every minute you have a choice. And as soon as you're conscious of that, aware of that, you can say, is there something different? And maybe it's not choice. Maybe it's, is there something different that's better for me right now? Is there something different that's actually in my alignment? Is this still in
Possible,
my alignment?
right? I do want to ask you, I'm just curious, you still being involved in your Christian religion, how do you remain so open and continue to seek, which I'm hearing from you, place of possibilities? And sounds like you have the freedom, I guess, to be able to explore inward. How do you remain in a structured religion in being so open? Or has religion evolved as it should?
I think the answer is yes. For both are yes. Interestingly
Good.
enough, my partner is a Lutheran pastor, so we've been having these types of conversations a lot, because he's also very, very open. And part of it has to do with my upbringing. I had the priest, it was a really good friend of the family. And interestingly enough, he had two PhDs. One of them was in theology, one of them was in physics. So he was looking at faith from both sides. And a lot of my experiences early on were such that the traditional faith did not explain a lot of things that were happening to me. So I sought outside of myself and sought outside of my faith, going, somebody's got to be experiencing and talking about these things that are occurring that I don't know what to do with. At the same time, I notice, and anytime I notice something that comes up as a block, as a challenge, as something where I shut myself out from information, I'm like, well, why is that? What is inside of me that's reacting to this really?
So lots of self-inquiry.
That's right. And I noticed, actually, I love that you brought this up. A long time ago, there was a person who continuously tried to challenge my faith, and it would get me really upset and get me really frustrated. And I didn't really like him asking those questions, even though in any other sphere, I would be all in. I love, critical thinking. And I was like, wait, well, what is actually responding to this? And what I recognize, I think this is a root in a lot of how we act in religion or even outside of it, where there's a fear of being wrong. And because of that fear, at least for me, it was this, like, if I just can keep this bubble contained, this is my truth, and it's closed, and no information can get in or out, because God forbid it's going to get challenged. And I thought that was faith. And I think to a lot of people, this is, their worldviews are in that little container. And what you don't
Thinner.
recognize is, if you open your hand, if you allow that space to come in, it actually expands. You actually are able to find your truth easier. Because I was able to identify the fact that my faith was, again, internal. It was inside of me. Nothing that you can tell me or say or do outside of myself can shift that. Because I know what I believe. And you can believe whatever you want. So all of a sudden, that challenge back and forth, what you believe doesn't challenge what I believe all of a sudden, because that bubble isn't a closed little space anymore. So it allows this expansion that's infinite, which is, again, if we talk about the Christian belief system and actually a lot of others, God is infinite, right? There's this infinite space. At the same time, it's unity. It's the oneness, right? So all of a sudden, you take that same structure and you apply it to yourself and you say, I am oneness. I have this oneness inside of me. I have this point of reference that is true to myself. And yet everything else also exists. And if I can apply that to everything in life, it's like talking about conflict
Yes.
resolution. That's it, right?
That's
It's
it.
my truth is truth, and everything else exists.
That's right. And no one can take it from you when that has been your experience to be your truth. Where I think that fear does come in is when you start to think, am I living my life off of what I've been told to believe rather than my own experience? I mean, I deeply rooted Catholic, for generations. And I couldn't tell you that I experienced any of it to be true. I only was told that that was the truth. So therefore, it really wasn't my truth until I saw it inside and then experienced that truth for myself. And then there was nothing to fear if anyone did challenge me because it was my truth. You said that you've met the Dalai Lama, which is incredible. I'd love to hear the story. But I remember when Thich Nhat Hanh had said in his book, Living Buddha, Living Christ, he said that we should eat from all of the fruits. We should have a fruit salad. He loved fruit salad because why should you only choose from one fruit? To be open to understanding and respecting and loving others regardless of what their beliefs are inside of them, that only keeps us in that little tiny bubble you were talking about. And then we are not able to expand and have that oneness with the world.
Yeah. There's a place in India that's called the Golden Temple, and it's the most one of the most sacred spaces in the Sikh religion. The most interesting, well, there are quite a few interesting things about it. It's stunning. Like it's such an incredible place. The energy there is just it's the level of spirituality, the presence that you feel walking into it. They have incredible kitchens where they feed anybody with no questions asked, and like it's just these massive halls, these like the kitchens are huge. You have these massive pots of like all kinds of food. And that's extraordinary. And the thing that kind of really challenged my thinking was they had so many representations of different faiths in the same place worshiping together. And part of me said, okay, well, I can see somehow, right? I can at least fathom Christians, Islam coming in, Jews coming in, like basically having all of this compilation. One God idea, right? Then you put Hinduism in where you have many gods in their faith, in their theology. And then you put Buddhism in. And so you have all of these people, and yet they're able to not just coexist, but also worship in the same place without conflict. And to me, that was extraordinary. And again, it was one of those moments where, well, what are the rest of us doing? You know, how can you find so much peace in yourself that you're not challenged by the beliefs of others, and maybe even expand your own faith, the understanding of your own faith by that experience?
Well, and it's like this. You said earlier, if you can figure that out and you're more focused inward and you're also open to receive and appreciate what others can bring into your life and into your business, into your relationship, and stop trying to make everybody like you, which we're also unique and divine purposely here with many different gifts. I mean, I can't imagine just having a team that only did what I did. What good would that be?
That, yeah, no. Please and thank you. I'm good. Just one of me is
Right?
good.
Hey, listeners, so sorry for the interruption, but I wanted to tell you about my newest affiliate in the network of lightworkers, Janine Lo. She is one of UK's top Chinese astrologists. If you want to know what's in store for 2024, then you can schedule a session with Janine. Go to the network of lightworkers on www.senseofsoulpodcast.com and click on Janine and schedule your Chinese astrology reading today. It's the year of the dragon, so lots of luck and opportunities are coming your way. So go check it out. Now back to our amazing guest. It makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's such an important message. I think there's a space where I found a challenge in myself for myself where I'm having to untangle this worldview that I've received, that I've built, that I've, that continuously comes through. And then you have an experience that happens that challenges that,
Yeah.
right? There's, again, being from Russia, having friends in Ukraine, having friends in Russia, having family back home. It's this like grief, this helpless feeling. And I love that you had Neil Donald Walsh on your podcast, because one of the things that he said that just like it hit so hard, and he brought it up again, it came up again with what's happening in Israel, the point that he made about Hitler. It's something that it's like when I was reading his book, I'm like, okay, I can at least allow that to be in my reality, even though I still don't understand it. But then here we are with in a situation, where on one side of me, I have this self-aware, this, I feel like, expansive self that I've become, that I really love and I enjoy, and I feel like that's the whole me. And then there's this part of me that is looking at the situation back home and going, I can't apply the same belief system to that. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. How can both of those things be true? And I feel like there
Yeah.
is an invitation. It's not all about it's that both can exist, and you can choose the one that you choose to follow, the way that the lens that you choose to see it through. Because on the other side of that, there isn't a giant evil them,
Right.
which is strange because it
No.
feels like that. You look at the horrible things that are happening and you're like, them. The thing that naturally happens to us for whatever reason is that we divide this is the us, this is the them. And yet there's a person on the other side of that, and I've seen people on the other side of that, and you look at them as a person, and you hear their story, and you're like, oh, well, that kind of makes sense. And
Right.
there are, contexts that we're missing. There are things that we're missing that don't, by any means, and I don't want to make this sound like it's something, it's not an excuse by any means, right, for horrible things. And in my mind, I'm thinking, what would happen if I were to find myself in that situation? Again, putting myself not just in the shoes of some of the worst people, and going, what does my life have to be like to make these choices? What would have to change in my life and in my society for these things to change and to shift? Because we can't break those barriers by simply trying to go straight at them, because physics, law of physics says force is met with equal force, right? We can't just force our way through this. And if we can apply that us that's expansive, that aware self, to situations that are challenging us, that are at the core of our beings, I think that's when true growth and true change can happen, because we can approach things with a lot more kindness and perhaps come up with a solution that's more people-centric
Yeah.
and will lead to more of a resolution, versus just, again, this is the us, this is the them, and now we're just in conflict of trying to resolve this because I know this is wrong.
You cannot dissolve conflict by killing each other's children. It doesn't work. Like when you said them, that's what I pictured. I pictured all of these people who didn't have a choice to be who they are. A lot of them didn't have a choice even to sign up to defend their country. They were born into this. They didn't have a choice. And them is innocent.
I feel like there is a truth in me that says that already here, it's so close, people want to
It
change.
is.
And there's a lot of fear around this. There's a lot of uncertainty around this. And thankfully, again, one of the best things I've ever done for myself is surround myself with people who are doing this work out there and who have found that success already. So I can't, so that voice isn't able to grab onto anything, because it's like, well, look at what they were already able to accomplish. So it kind of quiets that down. But I think that if we're able to, again, take a pause, think about what we have, what when we are ourselves are in conflict, if it's just us, if we simplify the equation, right? If it's us and us in our head, and we're in conflict, or if we're looking at a child and they're having an expression of internal conflict, they don't know how to express this, right? The outwards expression is violent or aggressive or chaotic or whatever that is. What is the thing to do? What can you do in that moment? If you try to prove something to that child, nothing's going to happen. It's just going to make the situation worse. What you got to do is you have to pause. You have to have a break in that process. That process has to have breathing space. And then what comes next, that almost becomes irrelevant, because that first step is so important and critical. Everything else can be built out later. But learning to
Right.
have that pause is essential for our own selves. And if we can apply that globally, if we can apply that
A
to
pause.
global
Yes.
individuals,
A global pause. Yes.
right, I believe that we have a chance because enough people, there are so many, we think about these limitations, but the reality is there's so many resources. There are so many people who want to help. There are so many organizations, companies, governments, like every single communities, societies that want to change, that I
Yeah.
think if we pause enough and we are able to bridge those gaps, if we're able to bring all of those pieces together, not have them doing individual efforts, but instead bringing together and saying, hey, what can we collectively achieve? We're all on the same page. Our means of getting there might be different. How we talk about it might be different. What the words that we use about it might be different. But the reality is that we all want good. We all want the best, whatever our interpretation is. So if we can get on the same page about that, I don't think that reality is too far away, that reality of peace, because as soon as we have internal peace, the external balances itself out.
So what I'm hearing though, what balances that out to me and from what I've learned over the years is in that pause, finding compassion and love and patience and all those things, that's all very divine feminine attributes, which this world is strongly led by masculine egos. And that is success. You know, what us smaller people, you know, have had as a model to strive for, which I think is hopefully changing. I mean, you look at Elon Musk, certain big companies were going to decide not to market for him. And he told him to fuck off. You're not going to control me. You're not going to manipulate me, you know, blackmail me, because you're not going to have control over me. That was huge, you know, for someone like him, who I don't see with a ton of ego, you know, being successful. That's huge. Whether you like him or not, that's something to strive for in the world, because we have enough of the other.
Absolutely. I was listening to a podcast that talked about this, but they're talking about how there's a difference between not caring what anybody thinks, because then you become, narcissistic, and that's the bad thing, right? Or if you
Right.
don't care who's what specific people think, because it's about it becomes about
Ooh,
it talked about
yes.
how it felt like a lot of what I heard from, for example, Brené Brown, right? People who aren't in the arena. She talks about this a lot about, you don't get a say in my efforts if you're sitting on the outskirts of that arena.
You know what
Yeah.
else I just heard recently, that I really liked, that I'd love to know what your thoughts on this is. To make money. You know, say you want, you know, this is your goal to success, you know, say if it is money, it's what you do with the money. I mean, are you putting back into the world, you know, to create a better world for the future with that money? You know, or are you just being selfish and buying and buying and buying all of these things that you can't even take with you?
Yeah, I have a theory about that. So for some reason, I think in triangles, I think in threes. I feel like there's a power behind it.
Oh,
And
yes.
so I feel like, and this is of course oversimplified, but I feel like any human being or any entity, so when I say entity, it could be a person, it could be a business, it could be a country, it could be a nation, it could be a society, culture, whatever that is, right? There's an entity. So there's either a person or a group of people. And I feel like there are three main points. We're going to call them money, mission, and message. Money could be any resource. So it doesn't have to be actual financial, resources. It could be any kind of resource. Mission is what impact are you creating out there, and how does it reflect on you internally? What does it mean to you? How is it in alignment? And then there's the message of how is it getting out there? How is it being put out there? How are people receiving and hearing it and reaching it? How is this
I like
message
that.
reaching individuals?
I like that a
And
lot.
I feel like all of us sit in one comfortably, right? You have people who are really great at making money, but they feel disconnected from anything else. There are people like
True.
myself who are like, if I can eat and breathe and pay my bills with mission, let's go.
Yeah.
Challenges, I
That's
tried,
me too.
doesn't work. Right? And then there are
That's
people who do all of the talking and, like they'll just talk and talk and talk, but they're not really connected to anything. And we can sometimes, fairly easily expand into a second. So, for example, I can get better at marketing myself. I can maybe get better at finance. But then to have all three is critical to have complete satisfaction. And on the other side of it is this is what I'm receiving, but it's also what I'm providing. So there's an input and an output factor. So can I create a life? Can I create a world where I, as an entity, receive all three and produce all three? Because then that's balance.
I
Then
like
that
that.
money makes sense if it's connected to my mission and if it's put out there the right way.
A lot of times we're putting out far more than we're receiving.
And how do we do that? How do we it's so interesting because it's so simple and yet it's challenging to implement as
It is, but then
it
in
can
the
be.
same, it's, I mean, you could think about it like with anything. A lot of people say, for myself, this is a big one for me. I help everybody. But I have a hard time asking for help. That's one for me. I mean, my whole life. I mean, I could be drowning and I'll just be like, I got it. You could be putting a foot on my head as I'm drowning, and I'm like, it's good. I'm gonna get out of this myself. So it is hard to receive, but it's so important, is it not?
Absolutely is. And the interesting thing is when you, because I had that challenge, I've been pushing against that ceiling, like to the point where it's just I don't think there's no more ceiling there. I will make myself super uncomfortable and do and ask every single time that comes up. What you recognize when you start overcoming that, whichever one of those pieces it is, let's say again the messaging, the asking, you recognize people want to help.
They
Genuinely,
do.
people want to help. You want your help.
Yes.
And yet
And
you don't allow that on the inside. The interesting thing is we talk about, there's so many people that talk about all the different blocks that keep us from getting where we want, what we want, changing the world to see how to see in it what we would like to see. And yet it's when we start releasing these things, even though it's not really about the world, it's about us. That's the secret. I feel like it's always is about us, not from an ego perspective, but when we have control of our perspective. When we clear that space, when we're able to access that, it opens up not just that piece, but everything else. It creates
Good point.
magic. It creates these series of extraordinary coincidences that you no longer can accept as coincidences because of how frequently they're happening.
That back and forth, that energy, give and receive, it's a natural way of life. It's natural.
Yeah. It's like you're holding your hand out there. It's like, nope,
Yes.
nope.
Yeah, you're blocking yourself from that flow that is supposed to naturally happen.
And it's not a judgment. That's, I feel like the next thing that comes up, at least for me, it always does. It's like there's like this judgment. There's this voice that says, "Oh yeah, see, it's your fault." It's like, wait. That's the part that actually helps keep that part there. Like, let's release that. No, this is fine. This is how we normally are. It's just coming back to choice. Is this what you are continuing to choose to do? And if so, that's okay because it serves you right now. The question is, can you recognize and choose differently when that stops serving you?
And how can I, allow that to come in and giving opportunities for people to help me, especially when they offer, right? It's not even so much about seeking help. I mean, people often offer help.
It sometimes feels like I again I'm this rings so close to my heart. It sometimes I don't know if there's maybe an element of something to prove, but it feels like if you give certain parts away, like it feels for me, it was always about being a burden. It's like I will be a burden to somebody. I can do this on my own. And at the same time, that part that you are forcing yourself to do or trying to get yourself to do, it's something you dislike, something out of your comfort zone, something that you really like, it's draining your energy. And yet for that person, it gives them energy.
Keeping yourself in that little bubble, right?
Exactly.
Again,
Exactly.
so you're keeping yourself from being a part of the oneness. Self-inquiry is so amazing, isn't it? And bouncing it off of someone else, not thinking that you have to take on the world by yourself, a business by yourself, even a podcast by yourself.
That's right. That's right.
Right. And yeah, I really appreciate you. I love your perspective. I love how you take that pause to step back and say, wait a second, can we find another word? Can we look at this in a different way? Yeah, I love that. Tell me about
Yeah.
your books and tell me about your new book. Yeah, amazing.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, Corey Poirier with Blue Talks community, that has been honestly that talking about asks, that has changed everything. That like coming to that conference now, I can't, so it's not, it wasn't, you know, magic. It wasn't the magic bullet that just like changed everything. It was
Right.
the 10-year overnight success idea where I feel like enough things have been building up to that point where I showed up. And in that weekend, on the first day, I heard James Redfield speak, which I didn't know anything about that event that I showed up to. I show up in the morning a little bit late because I had an earlier appointment, and it James Redfield is live, and he's Celestine Prophecy is one of my favorite books, and I go like, oh my gosh, what is happening? Like I didn't expect that. And then Corey talked about like what's the difference between the person who gets it and the person who don't is the people who didn't get it just didn't ask, right? And then Ken Honda, this is, I'm speaking this out loud. I'm hearing myself speak this, and this will make a lot more sense when I talk about the book and why this is mind blowing. Ken Honda was the last speaker on that day on Friday, and he talked about his phenomenal story about his mentor, who was like the Zig Ziglar of Japan, told him to go to another country for a year, stay with families that he doesn't know for like a week at a time, and again, just asking. Like the idea is to just ask, and something came over
Right.
me, got on that stage, like I with my hand up. And I asked Ken if I can come stay with him in Japan for a week. I
Oh
almost,
my
I
God.
literally felt like I was gonna die. I went off screen after that and like had a panic attack for an hour. I was like, what
Oh my
did I
God,
just
that's hilarious. Yes.
was
I mean, what
terrifying.
a risk you took, right? You made that choice in that moment. I'm just doing it.
That's right.
And what did he say? And what did he
He
say?
said yes. He said here, and I got his personal information. That's just, and then I end up from that same weekend. I signed up for Harvard, talking speaking at Harvard. I signed up for the second book with Dr. Joe Vitale, which was he again one of my favorite authors. With Zero Limits is one of my favorite books. So all of that took place. Within a couple of days, I had the trip to India. And
Right.
the Dr. Joe Vitale book just came out in the fall. We hit number one on Amazon, number one Barnes, number four in Barnes and Nobles. It was amazing.
Oh,
And
that's
then
so
the next
cool.
book with the same with Blue Talks with James Redfield and Ken Honda. So it's
Yeah.
like full circle. So
Pretty
right now it's in
amazing.
pre-sale and it's just yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
But that was you taking a chance in that moment to make a choice to
Yeah.
ask for a little hand. Yeah, I think
Yeah.
that's kind of been the theme of this, is to be brave enough to go beyond that voice that's telling you no, you could do
And
it.
it doesn't go away. Like it's still there every single, like I
Right, so true.
getting on this, getting on that new call, it's like it's uncomfortable, but it's being able to say, I now have experience that this works. And before you have that experience, it's leaning on other people's experiences. It's leaning on my story and your story and, you know, other stories. And it's saying, okay, well, if they did it, maybe I can too. And then finding that truth, because it's there. You just have to have the courage to take that step, and it's there it is.
Oh, so I have to ask, do you still do photography at all?
I actually was able to come back to it. So I went through a
Yay.
healing journey, and the India trip actually had my camera on me the whole time, so I got to take all the
Oh.
photos. Oh my gosh. And yeah, now I have it more of a creative outlet. So I still take on clients, but on the side of the main global work. And
Yeah,
yeah, it's a
that's
beautiful
amazing.
balance. Yeah.
So tell everybody where they could find you, where they could find your books, and are you thinking about maybe having this global work as, you know, something that you do like forever or just a one-time thing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely forever. This has been my calling. I think it's working with my mentor. The working title for me is the Overseer of Infinite Projects. So
Ooh.
I apply the way I apply myself is exactly the same, but the application can be to an individual or a nation or globally. So it's building processes, it's connecting individuals, and it's bringing that vision and bridging those gaps. But absolutely, always. I can never see myself not doing this work.
Nice. What is your
Yeah.
website?
So it's very easy. It's connectwithmasha.com. It's Masha. Connectwithmasha.com. It has all the information on my projects, the books, how to get on my calendar, getting involved with anything. And if you'd go to connectwithmasha.com/gift, I run masterminds regularly, and I have different events, so you can check it out and see what's coming up and join me there. I'd love to see how we can break some of your ceilings too.
Oh, that's so cool. I was thinking before I got on with you and going onto the stage, with Lou Talks. And I was thinking before we got on, I was like, this isn't a stage. You're like coming into my house, right? You're coming into like my sacred space just to have a conversation. It's so different, but both so important and still a space to share your story so that you can help other people. I think it's
Yeah.
important.
Thank you so much. You are amazing for running this. And it's these kind of stories. I feel like it's this in-home format is so amazing because it brings out those real conversations. It's not performed, it's not pre-planned. It's just
Right.
here's my heart, here's my soul, here is everything that comes through this interaction with two human beings. And it's extraordinary. And I hope that this really makes a difference in the lives of the listeners.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to Sense of Soul podcast. And thanks to our special guests for joining me. If you want more of Sense of Soul, check out my website at www.mysenseofsoul.com. Where you can work with me one-on-one or help support Sense of Soul podcast by donating to my coffee fund. Thanks for listening.